Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the Old Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And today, we are going to begin a study on the Psalms, and this is part of our context and flow series. If you turn to the New Testament in Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ divided up the Hebrew Scriptures into three parts. In the King James, it reads, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. We're studying the Law, the books of Moses, the first five books of Moses in our context and flow series right now. As I speak to you, we're in the book of Exodus. The prophets come next, which includes Joshua and all the prophets and so forth, and then there are the Psalms. Now, if you want to see how these look, the outline of the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, I'll recommend that you look at your companion Bible and the first appendix, where it outlines the Hebrew Scriptures, and that's the way the Hebrew Scriptures were, and that's the order in which our Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged them. That's how the Hebrew Scriptures look. So the Psalms begins the Psalms of the Old Testament, which will include Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and a few others, but we're going to be covering those in this series, beginning with Psalms. So, I'll just rattle them off to you here. This series on the Psalms includes Psalms, followed by Proverbs, followed by Job, followed by the Song of Solomon, then Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Those are the books that make up the Psalms. It's called the Ketubim. And so that's where we're going to begin our studies. Now, what we're going to be doing here is we won't cover everything in great detail. The purpose of the Context and Flow series is to encourage you to become a Bible student, to become familiar with these scriptures. And my comments are just simply meant to be a guide to you, to help you out. But I think one of the things my comments will do, hopefully, is to adjust readers of the Psalms into thinking of them in their context and flow. So often these Psalms have been used very poorly. Now, when we don't rightly divide the word of truth, we will either come to a passage of Scripture which we'll either ignore or modify. And the Psalms have been modified greatly and ignored. A lot of people, when they come to the Psalms, these Psalms are really the experiences of God's people, the Hebrews, who went through specific circumstances, and many of them, I believe, are prophetic and will refer to the future kingdom of God. And so the problem I've seen with the usage of the Psalms, many people take them and pretend like they're the people of God, and you know, people of another denomination are the enemies they're praying against or something like that, and they go to the Psalms to find comfort against their, quote, enemies. A lot of time we pretend we have these enemies. If they don't agree with us, well, they're our enemies, and they're the ones the psalmist is referring to when he talks about the enemies that need to be destroyed and so forth. So the Psalms have been used very poorly by people who just don't rightly divide the word of truth. They set up decrees of God for themselves. They pretend like they're God's chosen people and everyone else is the ungodly or something like that. So we had to be careful in reading these Psalms. So in these studies, I will not read them and pretend like the enemies of these Psalms are the people who don't agree with me. Neither will I pretend that they are in reference to, you know, political enemies or foreign countries or anything like that. So we will not be doing that in these studies of the Psalms. We're going to keep them right in their context and try to understand who the writer is and what he is referring to. So we will keep them in that kind of context, and we'll apply them as we can. A legitimate application we will attempt. But we'll do our best to make strict interpretation of these Psalms to the best of my ability. Now, the Psalms as a whole, there are 150 of them, and they're divided up into five books. The Psalm 1 through 41 is book 1, Psalm 42 to 72 is book 2, 73 to 84 is book 3, 90 to 106 is book 4, and book 5 is Psalm 107 through 150. And some have seen in this a pattern where it matches the books of Moses. So part 1, you know, like, so book 1 equals Genesis, book 2 equals Exodus, so on and so forth. Bullinger actually does that in his companion Bible, and he does that for various reasons. I'll let you look at his notes. He actually wrote a book called To the Chief Musician on the Psalms and the titles. And Bullinger has shed some very good light on the Psalms and the Psalm titles, and we'll be making note of those as we go through our studies here in the Psalms. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to go through these. And one of the things also is every audio is going to be devoted to a psalm. So I'm not going to do more than one psalm per audio. The psalms that are longer, like, you know, the 119th psalm, will probably take a couple of audios. But like today, in this particular audio, I'm only going to cover Psalm 1. And because I want on record each psalm in its own audio for various reasons that I've already mentioned, so people can listen to one at a time and make their notes and so forth. All right. What do you say we just open up and dig right in? And let's begin with the first psalm. And let me make some room here at my very crowded desk, and we'll start with the very first psalm. And it says here, in the first verse in the King James Version, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, that's the first psalm. Now, the word blessed there is a word we might say happy. How happy is the man? It's also, it ends the second psalm in verse 12. It says, how happy or blessed, how happy are all they that put their trust in him. So the first psalm begins with happiness and the second psalm ends with happiness. And that means they probably go together. So that's good to keep in mind as you study these. So it says, how happy is the man? So the first thing, it starts off with happiness. What makes a good Hebrew happy? And the answer to that question is this. Happy is the man that walketh not, or never did walk, in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, this word ungodly is one that, it's a word that means a lawless person, one who is not subject to God. He may profess God, but he's not subject unto him. And this word counsel, this counsel of the ungodly, if you trace this Hebrew word counsel, you'll find it in many places. It's crammed full in 2 Samuel, chapters 15 through 17, with regards to Ahithophel and his counsel. And he's the one who counseled against David, if you recall, and David prayed that his counsel would be defeated. This was a evil counselor. King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, forsook the counsel of the wise men, the elders, and went with the counsel of the young men. It was a terrible counsel. These were men that were lawless, and they gave Rehoboam terrible counsel, which led to the division of of Israel into two kingdoms. And so he says, and this is the counsel he's referring to, those who aren't subject to God, and in the order that the Hebrews had, and under God's government and his laws. Now, we can probably apply this, but we have to be careful. I know people who go, when they go to school, like sometimes they have to learn math from people who maybe don't have any understanding of God. Does that mean they shouldn't go there? Well, no. Should people go see guidance counselors on which college to choose for, you know, if they want to become a doctor or a lawyer? No, that's not what it's referring to. So we have to be careful when we apply this. So if you keep it, if you strictly interpret it, we see many examples in the Old Testament where people forsook the counsel of the Lord for the counsel of the ungodly. The first chapter in Proverbs talks about those who don't heed the counsel of wisdom. And so, how happy is the man who never did walk in the counsel of the lawless? And that's quite possible. It's absolutely possible to do. And many in the Old Testament did that. They didn't follow those who forsook the Lord, like Ahithophel. And then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The way is their path, the way they go, the sinners, people who missed the mark. They didn't stand in their way, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. And a scorner is one who mocks. And it's fascinating, too, how the Proverbs has so much to say about the scorner. This Hebrew word is used many times in the Proverbs. And it talks about the scorners delighting in their scorning in Proverbs 1:22. And it talks about the scorner. Judgments are prepared for scorners in Proverbs 19:29. And so it's mentioned throughout Proverbs. And so Solomon mentions scorners there. And so he says here, now what's the opposite of what is this man? The happy man is one, negatively, who does not walk in the counsel of the lawless, nor sit in the stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But positively, his delight, he takes a delight in this, is in the law of the Lord. Notice, it's his delight. He loves it. And I think the rest of this verse is a repetitive here. We see this a lot in the Hebrew, where one thing is repeated in a different way. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and, or we might say even, in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's how he delights in it, by the fact that he meditates on it day and night. And that word meditate means to talk with oneself, to talk to yourself. And that's a great way to study Scripture, by the way. And this is something you can apply to ourselves, because the law of the Lord is referring to God's written revelation here, as the Hebrews had it. And we today have the entire Word of God, both Hebrew and Greek scriptures, that we study and we have to rightly divide. But it's something we should meditate in day and night. We read it, we study it, I talk to myself. I'm sitting there sometimes and just sitting in my chair and wherever I'm at, and I'm just talking to myself about things that I've read, talking it over, asking myself questions, jotting a note down or what have you. Because I love this book. I'm always thinking about this book. I'm always thinking about God's words, because they're so important. They're so wonderful. They're my delight. And this man here says he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So that's the opposite of walking in the counsel of the lawless. Now remember, too, this is a time in which God communicated with people directly. Today, we go to the bare text of Scripture, and that's how we get to know him better. And then it says here, regarding this person, this happy man who delights in the law of the Lord. Notice, by the way, let me just say this, too. Happiness is found for the believer in one who is constantly meditating on what God has said. Because when we talk about being a believer, when somebody has faith, it's not positive thinking. Faith has been made almost a religious term today. But when we say we have faith, we're people of faith, that means we're believers. We believe what God says. And this book makes me happy because it reveals God to me. It tells me who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. And that makes me happy. Sarah laughed, it says. God hath made her to laugh. And this book makes me smile, makes me happy. Every once in a while, I discover something. I get up, I do a little dance even, because it makes me happy. All right, then he says, he shall be, this happy person shall be, or that's the Hebrew word to become, or prove to be, like a tree planted by rivers of water. Now, that's something, isn't it? He's like it. Notice, he's like it. He's like a tree planted by rivers of water. In other words, a tree that is by a wonderful irrigation system. This is not a tree way out in the middle of nowhere where it can barely get water. No, it's being irrigated perfectly. And a tree that's irrigated well will bring forth his fruit in his season. I like fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So he's like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. And for many years, I've thought about this, seasonable fruit, bearing the right fruit for the right time, doing the right things at the right time. By the way, our Lord Jesus did this perfectly. He brought forth the right fruit. He was prepared for every circumstance of life and lived accordingly. And then it says here, verse 4, the lawless are not so, but they are like, now what are they like? The chaff, which the wind driveth away. They have no root, no water source, no fruit. That's what they're like. They're like the wind, the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, he says, the ungodly or the lawless shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, let's look at this. And I think, again, here we have a thing where something is repeated twice. This is my opinion. It says here, the lawless shall not stand in the judgment. Bullinger says this means they'll not rise in the judgment. Okay, that may be so. I think the next verse explains it further. Nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. The Scripture teaches a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. And we've learned in our studies in the New Testament, there will be people alive in the kingdom of God who will be cast into outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8 is where we discuss that there are those who will be raised from the dead only to be going through sanctions during that kingdom era. And the judgment is not just a one-time thing. This judgment here, I believe, is something that's being set right. So when it says the lawless shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous, that means that these lawless ones will not have a position in God's government. They will not be flowers in the coming kingdom of God. They won't flow out to others. They won't have aeonian life. And it doesn't mean they're not going to be alive in the end or what have you. It means I believe here that they're going to be going through a period of correction. And then it says in verse 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous," or he acknowledges their way, "but the way of the ungodly," that's the word lawless again, "the lawless shall perish," or that is, it'll vanish or come to nothing. Now notice it says it's their way that shall come to nothing. So all their counsels will not stand. God will do all his pleasure. And so whatever their counsels were, men like Ahithophel, these counselors who brought the wrong counsel, their way shall perish. God will get the ultimate victory. All right, that's Psalm 1, and we will continue next time in the second one. This will take us some time, but listen, we're not in a hurry. Spiritual growth is something that takes time and patience. You know, when God wants to make a squash, he just takes a few months, but when he wants to make a big oak tree, he takes over 100 years. So don't worry about your spiritual growth. Just take it easy, relax, and let God be your teacher as you apply yourself to the study of his wonderful word. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Until we talk again, keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.